Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And the prize of the Star Ledger endorsement for governor of New Jersey goes to not John Corzine, not Chris Christie, but Chris Daggett, the independent candidate. The endorsement says where the Democrats and Republicans in New Jersey have differed, their differences have been inconsequential. Where they've been the same, the similarities have been destructive. So it's time to break the two-party stranglehold in the Garden State, says the Star Ledger editorial in yesterday's paper. Can the Star Ledger endorsement matter? Bridget Harrison, politics and law professor at Montclair State University, is back with us. Hi, Professor Harrison. Are you surprised?
I am surprised, Brian. This is quite a shock. It's a shock in a number of different ways. First off, at least the first time in recent history that the Star Ledger or any major newspaper has endorsed an independent candidate for governor. Also surprising because the Star Ledger, as one of the sponsors of the second gubernatorial debate later this week, had agreed not to endorse any candidate before that second debate was held. And so this comes as a surprise to many in the political world in New Jersey.
Why would they break that promise?
You know, I'm not sure if it was intentional or if it was, in fact, just an oversight. But it is quite surprising that they chose to go on record in endorsing Mr. Daggett before. I think many people would have thought that they would, especially because the debate, this second debate, offers the candidates an opportunity to further spell out their positions on the issues. But apparently they felt so strongly for Mr. Daggett's candidacy that they, you know, decided to get on board early.
Listeners, go on our website for your reactions to this. Let's build a web conversation with your reactions to the Star Ledger endorsing Chris Daggett. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have a special page for this. Now, the paper says this is an indictment not of Corzine or Christie as individuals, but of their parties, as in what I referenced already. Is it clear to you how the paper separates the people from the parties?
I think that it could have done a better job in doing that. I think that, in particular, when we talk about Mr. Corzine, we have a track record to examine in the way in which he could have perhaps separated himself, particularly from the legislative party, the Democrats in the state legislature. And, you know, when we look at Mr. Corzine as a politician, one of the things that we understand is that he came to politics from an atypical route. He didn't build a grassroots party organization. He wasn't the mayor of a town or in the state legislature. Rather, he decided after his career at Goldman Sachs to become a U.S. senator and then subsequently to become governor. And so, therefore, he was never really part of that well-organized Democratic Party machine in the state. And I believe that it was his intention coming into the state to kind of go and do battle with that party. But for a number of different reasons, that has been perhaps more difficult than he anticipated. And so I think that the Star Ledger didn't exactly spell that out for readers, but I think
yeah,
that
although
there
they did
that
a little bit.
Sense.
Let me read from the Star Ledger endorsement of Daggett on both Corzine and Christie. They write that Corzine is an eminently decent and likable man and not without achievement. We especially salute his unflagging commitment to state education and his success in changing the Abbott school aid formula to ensure that money intended to help poor children follows them whether or not they live in specific districts. But his shortcomings, it says, as a leader are serious. They become all too apparent in his dealings with public employee unions, an often unruly legislature, and a Democratic Party that is at best an ethically compromised ship and at worst harbors a corrupt crew. So they're getting at it.
They are.
And then they say about Christie that the most disappointing of the three candidates is Christie. His principal claim on voter support is based on his record as U.S. attorney for New Jersey, and it is not without merit, but his sketchy budget plans and his relative lack of familiarity with the details of state government, as evidenced in debates and before the Star Ledger editorial board, give us cause. So that's a little of their take on Christie and Corzine. But how do you think the Daggett movement, Professor Harrison, can grow in these final weeks of the campaign?
Well, I think that one of the most important outcomes of this editorial is that we will see an increase in the number of contributions to Mr. Daggett's campaign. To date, he's raised and spent about $1 million, compared with about $16 million by Governor Corzine and about $6 million by Mr. Christie. I think that this endorsement really will give people who had thought about contributing to his campaign a reason to do so. Of course, the fact that we're talking about it is also an indication that free media is picking up on his candidacy.
Absolutely.
And that's very important. I think that that in and of itself, really, particularly in a state like New Jersey, where in order to reach voters, you have to buy into both the New York and Philadelphia media markets, both enormously expensive. In order to reach New Jersey voters, free media is enormously important to a candidate like Mr. Daggett. And I also think that, this will, you know, editorials do people base their votes on what a newspaper tells them to do. I think in this particular instance, because the Star-Ledger describes the sentiment of so many residents of the state, the frustration and the kind of co-option of the political parties and politicians together, I think that some voters may actually pause and say, you know, perhaps we'll give this fellow a chance.
You think that's true, even in the age of waning newspapers?
Well, I think that, the coverage in the electronic media, you know, perhaps people didn't actually pick up the Star-Ledger yesterday and read this editorial, but it certainly has been blogged about. It's available online. It
yes.
is on all the political websites. And, of course, you know, in television and radio are also covering it. And so I think that it goes beyond that actual newspaper endorsement, but it has kind of permeated the electronic and print media.
By the way, reading the endorsement very carefully, it looks like they don't say much at all about the qualifications or the qualities of Chris Daggett. They're really into repudiating the Democratic and Republican parties. They have long sections, which I excerpted from each of a minute ago, knocking Corzine and knocking Christie. And, you know, at the end, all it says is the election of Chris Daggett would deliver that repudiation to the two parties and put a highly qualified occupant in the corner office at the State House. Did I miss something?
Well, I think that what they're not saying about Mr. Christie is, you know, really reading between the lines. They do say that his candidacy was the most disappointing, and I think that many in the state did hold high hopes, particularly given Mr. Christie's background
right.
as a U.S. attorney.
Sure, but I'm saying they don't say much positive that's specific about Mr. Daggett.
I would agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I don't know that they actually endorse the plan that he has proposed for reforming the state's property taxes. I do think, though, that the presence of a plan in this regard is viewed as meritorious. And so, you know, give or take the specifics, you may like them or disagree with them. I think the fact that he came to the table with a plan and one of the things that they seem to be knocking in Mr. Christie when compared with Mr. Daggett is that he has Mr. Daggett, they argue, has a command of the issues facing state government and how state government works. They kind of take an underhanded swipe at Mr. Christie with his lack of familiarity.
And we will do a separate segment in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series on the three candidates' property tax proposals per se. So that'll be coming up in coming days as we get closer to the election. Daggett did work in the Kane administration, so that was a Republican administration. He's been on an environmental task force for Corzine in a Democratic administration. So I guess he's got some cred from both sides. But the first comment on our webpage asks, Daggett has 15%. Who is he taking votes from? And where does he really stand? Left, right, or center? So let's take the second question first. Can you say in general terms whether he really stands left, right, or center?
Well, by that listener's question, what I'm assuming they're asking is particularly on social issues. In the state of New Jersey, most politicians who get to run in general elections are rather moderate. From the first debate, which I thought was probably the best gauge of candidate positions, it seemed to me that there was a good deal more agreement between Mr. Corzine and Mr. Daggett than there was between Mr. Daggett and Mr. Christie. For example, both of them said that they would sign a bill permitting gay marriage in the state. Both of them unequivocally stated their positions as being pro-choice and supporting legislation in keeping with Roe versus Wade. And this is contrasted to Mr. Christie's positions on those issues. And so ideologically, I would place Mr. Daggett in New Jersey politics kind of dead center, perhaps with a little bit of a leaning on social issues to a more liberal stand.
So to the other part of the listener's question, is it clear to you who Daggett support comes from? Those disaffected Democrats who don't want to vote for Corzine anymore but think Daggett is acceptable to them ideologically, or those committed to seeking an alternative to Corzine who will split between Christie and Daggett?
Actually, what we've seen from the polling so far is that it is the latter. Anything that Mr. Daggett has gotten, now, of course, we have not seen any polling data collected after this endorsement, but anything it looked like over about 4%, it seemed that he was pulling votes from Mr. Christie's column. And so Democrats throughout the state viewed Mr. Daggett's candidacy positively because they were essentially cutting that protest vote. There were some voters who kind of said, anybody but Corzine. And so by presenting two alternatives, that vote was cut, and that means that Mr. Corzine would need fewer votes in order to win election. With this editorial, is this a game changer? Will this mean that some disaffected Democrats might switch over from Mr. Corzine to Mr. Daggett? I'm not quite sure. I think that the other thing that we've seen in polls is that Mr. Corzine has actually solidified his Democratic base in the past few weeks. Some of those Democrats were kind of sitting, they were undecided, but in the past several weeks, most polls have indicated that he has shored up substantial support, particularly among women in the Democratic Party in the state.
All right.
The other thing, Brian, that I think is interesting is, will these Daggett voters actually turn out to vote?
Is there a path to victory for Chris Daggett, potentially?
Well, with a three-way contest where it is competitive, you need a very small proportion of the vote. You can win with 32 or 33%. Several weeks ago, I would have said that would be impossible. Today, I would say that it's unlikely, but perhaps possible, particularly if he manages to raise the kind of money that's required in order to develop a serious grassroots get-out-the-vote effort and in order to get his name out in the electronic media throughout the state.
All right. By the way, listeners, if you want to hear an interview with Chris Daggett, we had him on the show on Friday, so you can go to our webpage for Friday's show, the 9th of October, and you can hear us talking with Chris Daggett in that context. Well, is it a game changer? Does it make Daggett a contender and not just a spoiler? Time will tell, but he has now the endorsement of the Star-Ledger. Bridget Harrison, politics and law professor at Montclair State. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Brian.
And we go right on in a minute to our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series segment for today, Issue 16, Immigration and the New Jersey Governor's Race. Stay tuned.